Buddy.
Good evening. I'm so glad that you brave women came out. And I have to offer my usual apology anymore that I don't have a PowerPoint, but I worked really hard by myself on your handout, and I tried to include all of the scripture that I'm going to mention tonight on there, so you shouldn't have too much trouble following. Just try not to read ahead too much. All right, before we begin our lesson tonight on self-control, I want to go back for a minute and look at the first fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. This agape love, or the highest form of love, is the one that God has for us, His daughters. It's both sacrificial and committed to the well-being of others. And each one of the remaining fruits may be expressed as some form of this love. So if you look at your outline there, we're going to fill those in together. The first one, joy, is love enjoying. Peace is love resting. Patience, or long-suffering, is love waiting. Kindness is love reacting. Goodness is love choosing. Faithfulness is love keeping its word. Gentleness is love being able to empathize. And self-control, the one we're going to talk about tonight, is love being in charge. Each one of us needs God's transcendent, chastening, empowering, and holy love to flow in and through us so that we might love as He loves. It is, simply put, more than any of us can do in our own strength. The same can be said for the fruit of self-control. Apart from the Holy Spirit, you and I cannot live a godly life. It is His ability that empowers us to resist sin and obey God. He helps us interpret Scripture and enables us to fellowship with the Lord. The bottom line is our first principle. Without the Holy Spirit, no one can have a genuinely fruitful life. By walking in the Spirit, dear sisters, we can have the power to overcome our flesh and live victoriously. The Holy Spirit is a trustworthy guide. He doesn't control our decisions. But the more sensitive we are to His guidance, the more discernment we will have to make the right decisions. The Spirit is God's mouthpiece to believers. Everything He communicates to us is directly from the Father. John 16:13 tells us, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." Living inside us, the Holy Spirit has direct access to our minds, emotions, and our conscience. He doesn't need our ears, but He needs a listening heart and a renewed mind. Pardon me. So let's look more closely at the fruit of self-control, which the Spirit develops in the lives of His children. In our homework, we looked at the definition as well as synonyms and antonyms for this quality. Self-control comes from the Greek word enkratos, which means strength within or temperance, the ability to restrain our passions and appetites. And I'm not just talking about food. The opposite of self-control in Greek is akrasia, which means excess and self-indulgence. Beth Moore notes the appropriateness of the fruits of the Spirit beginning with love and ending with self-control in this way. Love keeps us afloat. Self-control keeps us anchored. Love lends us liberality, and self-control provides the boundaries within which love can be unleashed. Brings us to our second principle. The key to self-control is the refusal to allow our enemies, and our enemies can be in three ways, the flesh, the world, or Satan, to rule or hold us captive in any way. Self-control is an issue of mastery, of authority, and of boundaries. We read in our homework Proverbs 25:28, which says, like a city whose walls are broken down, is a man or a woman who lacks self-control. In ancient times, the city was only as strong as the walls that were built around it to protect it. These walls were sometimes wide enough that they could actually have chariots pulled by horses up to 3 wide, and in some cases up to 6 wide, ride across the top of these walls. Without self-control, we are like a city with breaches in our walls. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 states, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Therefore, ladies, we ourselves are the temple of God, and self-control is our wall of protection. It strengthens all that is within. The quality of self-control secures our freedom to love, to experience joy, to know peace, to respond with patience, to have a kind disposition, to act out of goodness, to step out in faithfulness, and to exhibit gentleness. How is this possible? Because self-control comes from obedience to the authority of the indwelling Holy Spirit in our bodies. Our first point is this. Self-control is the decision to remain within the boundaries of victory. Broken down walls in your life or succumbing to sin allows the enemy to steal your victory. Self-control is the decision to remain within the boundaries of victory, and broken down walls in your life or succumbing to sin allows the enemy to steal your victory. Any out-of-control area in our lives, no matter how big or how small, is an open invitation to the enemy. And we should know that he has memorized every strength and every weakness that we have. He's always on the lookout for that one crumbling section of our walls. That one out of control area where he can enter, and he will play havoc with our lives. Some of these out of control areas in our lives include some of the following examples: addictions, whether it be to smoking, drinking, illegal drugs, or medications, prescriptions, sexual immorality, pornography, adultery, financial issues, overspending, and even undergiving, overeating, and anorexia, lying or gossiping, idolatry and witchcraft, fits of rage and anger, abusive behavior, selfish ambition, greed or envy, and the list goes on. I know many of you are familiar with the warning that we also looked up in our homework, 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The enemy's weapons, and in a little bit I'm going to tell you about the weapons we have, but the enemy's weapons are temptations. And when he's penetrated our walls, our wounds are guilt, shame, frustration, and failure. The enemy's goal is to hold us captive as long as possible. I'm asking each of you ladies to think about your lives. Are you a prisoner of war? Have you ever been or are you now being held in captivity? We all can have improper feelings that urge us to do something that is physically, mentally, or spiritually harmful. Temptation feeds on our feelings, and that is where we must win the battle against sin and behavior that can push our lives out of control. Paul wrote in Titus 2:11 through 12, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, in our case women. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live upright and godly lives in this present age." Now you think about how long ago that was written, and "in this present age" is still accurate today. So what are some practical ways that you and I can overcome defeat in the area of self-control? And how can we know the protection and victory of self-control? Number one is to perform an honest self-examination or self-evaluation. Consider for yourself, in what areas do I lack self-control? We all know what they are, but sometimes you really need to stop and think, because you may have one that's most common or most prevalent, and then you may have others where the devil sneaks in. And from time to time, we say yes. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Only when the Holy Spirit renews, reeducates, and redirects our mind are we truly transformed. The point is, it is not God's will for us to be mastered by anything or anyone other than Him. Number two, stop using the excuse, "That's just the way I am, I can't help it." The whole issue of the indwelling Spirit of God has to do with empowering us to change, and the ultimate goal is to change into the likeness of Christ. Start saying to yourself, "I have the fruit of self-control, and I am able to do whatever I need to do in any situation, not because of myself, but because God is my strength." Number three, practice self-discipline in the power of the Holy Spirit. Submit your natural desires, whether it be food or sex or acquiring things, to the control of the Holy Spirit, or they will dominate your life. Know your purpose or your goal and pursue it with diligence and excellence. Remember that an undisciplined life compromises a believer's testimony. When we don't walk the talk, when we know what is right and we don't do it, we're giving an example to those around us that we're hypocrites. We're not representing Jesus when we're doing that. Self-indulgence not only dulls and robs a believer's sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, but it also saps our strength. And just to bring a little levity into the story, there's one popular women's speaker, and she talked about self-discipline like this. Everything in life takes quality, decision, self-control, and discipline to make it happen. Cleaning your house, losing weight, not spending more money than you should, maintaining peace, all require self-control. God is not going to send angels to vacuum our floors, no matter how much we rebuke the dirt in our house. It will not go away unless we clean it. I thought that was pretty cute. All right, number four. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, we have the ability to screen, select, admit, and cultivate what goes into our minds. By His power, we can prevent our minds from taking a wrong turn and wandering into evil, but we must choose to focus on living by the Spirit, which includes obeying God's Word. It is not our own effort, but God's Spirit that empowers us to fight against temptation and sin, overeating, discouragement, or anything else contrary to being effective and successful in our Christian walk. All right, I promised you a minute ago we'd talk about the weapons available to us. Number five is to employ God's weapons in the fight to gain self-control. Those weapons are prayer, faith, hope, love, God's Word, and His Holy Spirit. I'm going to repeat those for you. Prayer, faith, hope, love, God's Word, and the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Study, pray, and do what you need to do even when you don't feel like it. You may not have developed it or even want to use it, but self-control is available. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the Amplified Bible reads like this, "God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." Number six. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says it all. Bad company corrupts good character. Negative spirits and bad traits can be transferable. And I'm not saying that we don't need to be a light to a dark world, but we know, all of us probably, there are some people that we spend time with that the more time we spend with them, the less defenses we have. Proverbs 22:24 through 25 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man or associate with one who is easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." And that same women's speaker I read to you a minute ago puts it this way, "If they don't get what you've got, you may get what they've got." All right, number seven. Many of us want the results of self-control, but do not want to sacrifice or endure the restraint that is required to achieve those results. We want the gain, but not the pain. Self-control requires a decision to set your mind and keep it set. And we would all prefer a comfortable and trouble-free life, but what we have to ask ourselves is, do I want what the flesh wants, which is ease, comfort, and pleasure? Or do I want to become the godly woman that God wants me to be? It's a choice we must make. The Lord knows our hardships and our heartaches, the things we are unable to handle on our own. They are the same things that form the fertile soil for our spiritual growth and increasing dependence on Him. How can we know the burden bearer unless we get under a burden ourselves, try to deal with it, and then experience Him lifting that weight from us? Number 8. Feelings are sometimes our number one enemy, but the fruit of the Spirit called self-control is not about what we feel, it's about what we do. We can even choose to overcome our own bad moods. Although feelings or temptation, discouragement, and depression are common in life for most of us, we do not need to let these feelings control us. Turn your attention, as Paul directs in Philippians 4:8 through 9, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. Instead of counting sheep, my friends, try counting your blessings and be thankful. You'd be surprised what it can do for your mood. If your lack, number 9, if your lack of self-control is so overpowering that you have already surrendered to a life out of control, know that God has a plan for your release right now, today. Start now. Acknowledge that you need God's help to repair your broken walls. The process for victory may differ by individual. In other words, one person might need accountability partners to help them overcome their broken walls. Another person might need professional Christian counseling. Or still another might find a support group is really helpful. Sometimes just knowing that you're not alone in your broken wall can be the start of your road to recovery. Give your weakness to God and then keep giving it to Him if you need to, over and over until you become the overcomer. That's what He wants for you, my friends. All right. This is going to get some of you, but I love how this was put in the material that I studied for this lesson tonight. Isaiah 54b says, He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear like one being taught. The word is this: you may not be a morning person, but sister, God is. We are to pattern our lives like Jesus and David, a man after God's own heart. Beth Moore shares the following steps which must be accomplished to experience abundant victory on any given day. And it starts in the morning with prayer. Lay your request before God and wait in expectation. Acknowledge God's authority. A principle here is that any day not surrendered to the Spirit is surrendered to the flesh by default. That's sobering. Take a moment to confess any thoughts, deeds, or words performed outside the realm of His authority, and take the time to repent of your unconfessed sin. Abound in His presence. Invite God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, because cleansing and yielding equal filling. And with the filling of the Holy Spirit comes the Holy Spirit's fruit. Ask to see His glory and power. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked." Only those filled with the Spirit can truly see God working in their lives. Our spiritual eyes are opened. We become spiritually discerning, and we are enabled to see His power and glory all day. Award Him with your mouth. Pray for a mouth that glorifies Him all day long, and you will be filled with a sense of His love and approval. Beth adds, "Forget what your mama says. When it comes to things of the Spirit, never talk unless your mouth is full." Get it? Approach Him with praise. Praise God for who He is. He is worthy. She suggests listening to praise music. She really feels it's the catalyst for praise coming from her mouth. And I know that I hardly listen to anything else but praise music anymore. And it makes such a difference, especially in the morning when you're getting started. All right. Attribute all satisfaction to Him. Psalm 65:4 says, "Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple." The next one is audit the manifold blessings. And she explains this through the use of Psalm 63:6, "On my bed I remember you." Recount God's faithfulness and what He allowed you to see on this day. Keep a diary or journal of ways you saw Him and how He worked in your life. Praise Him and record His disclosures of Himself to you. And the last one is, allow yourself to rest in His arms. I think this is my favorite. Psalm 4:8 says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Now, you might say to yourself, if I follow this, I'm going to be thinking of God off and on all day long. Well, here's the reward for that. Isaiah 26:3 in the King James Version says, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee." I don't know how much you ladies want peace, but it is one of my top desires. All right, I want to close with this. When God's power manifests through the Spirit's fruit, it enables us to be His witnesses in three important ways. The first is by attracting non-believers to the body of Christ. When you can display that self-control when the world is expecting you to lose it, they will absolutely see that you have something special. There's something different about you, and there's power in that. There's power to incite people to talk to you about, and you know, hopefully we've had that experience at some point in our lives where somebody says, "I can't believe you're not upset about this." I have a friend, of course, I have the benefit of living with Greg, and there's a lot of things that a lot of women might get upset about. But God made sure I got in the patient line about 3 times. And so, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. All right, the second way God's power manifests itself in us is by providing the relational qualities necessary for harmony within the church. And we've been so blessed in this church, at least since I've been here, that I don't know we've had dividing issues so powerful that the entire congregation has suffered from them. I'm not saying there haven't been divides in thought or convictions. I don't know what other words I'm looking for, but I believe that the fruits of the Spirit of the majority of the people that attend this church have allowed us to feel and know and just revel in the love of God. We really have been truly, truly blessed in that area. And I think the fruits of the Spirit play a large part in that. All right, and the last way that God's power manifests itself through the Spirit's fruit is by protecting believers from the destructive consequences of sin. And what this meant to me is that as believers, we're not exempt from lack of self-control and fear and sadness and all of those emotional qualities, discouragement, some of the things I mentioned earlier, depression. And we're certainly not exempt from sin, overindulgence, self-indulgence, and any of those things that I mentioned earlier. But if we will be faithful to God in obeying His Word and deepening our relationship with Him, it will quicken our senses to respond to the Holy Spirit when He is trying to lead or guide us. And I think that that's especially true in the area of self-control. My sisters, the Lord designed you for a special purpose, one that will satisfy you like no other. So don't allow your natural desires to hinder your ability to reach His purpose for you. The sacrifices of a well-disciplined life are nothing in comparison to the rewards of fulfilling your God-given destiny. And if you will be obedient here on earth, your life will be so much more blessed. We all anticipate a reward in heaven, but wouldn't it be even so much greater to know God's reward for us while we're here as well? He has one. He wants what's best for us while we're here. Okay, and last but not least, I don't know if any of you are like me, sappy over Hallmark movies, but I love them. And I watched one not too long ago that I had watched probably 3 times before, but I've always loved. It's about a girl and her husband, and they set out across the country to go west, and he is... they have an issue, and he ends up that he dies. And she's pregnant with a baby, and she goes on. She's taken in by this father and daughter. And, Charlene, I'm glad you're nodding your head. I never know the name. I never know the names of them or the stars in them. But anyway, the little girl of the man that she's taken in by, as she gets bigger and bigger, finally says to her one day, "How did you get that baby in there?" you know, and she's kind of patting her tummy. And her husband's name was Aaron, and she said, Aaron and I, well, first she, you know, took a guess. She wasn't sure how to explain it to this little girl. And she said, Aaron and I loved each other so much that our love spilled over and made this baby. And so I've been waiting for a chance to use that. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I beg you to continue to show us your love and your mercy. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let us recognize when he is speaking to us. Let us not be led by our feelings, but led by his guidance. Lord, I pray that we will live our lives in such a way that the fruits of the Spirit will be evident, that we will allow our love to spill over, Father, spill over into joy and peace and patience, and kindness and gentleness. Lord, help us to know that extra measure of self-control, whether it be in restraining ourselves and practicing self-discipline through your strength, not ours, or whether it be that we consider self-control to aid us in the positive actions that we take and the ways that we give, Father, from what you have given us. We love you, Lord, and I ask you to bless these women tonight. Lord, I ask this in the name of your precious and holy Son, Jesus. Amen.